irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest on the show will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, celebrity reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters. Oh, the list goes on and on and on and on. Bottom line is, if they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you your entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can either download any of our past shows by going to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website. So you just go to latalkradio.com, listen to the channel one link. Go to the channel one link, and there's a drop down box, and you just click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And also, our shows are available on iTunes under the podcast section, Stitcher.com, and also Google Play. So again, just type Question Reality Radio in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about future guests, as you know, our show's been on the air for 8 years. We're booked 6 months to a year in advance, and people want to get on the show still because we've got a couple of slots left. We're booking for November and December. So you have to go to our official website, though, totally different from latalkradio.com. It is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And that way you can submit and request to be on the show. If you're working professionally in the entertainment industry and you want to promote your project and you don't mind giving career advice to our audience, then you are who we're looking for. Lastly, I want to encourage you to download our new free app for the Android or the iPhone or Google Play, and this will be so you're able to listen to all the other exciting and informative shows on LA Talk Radio as well. Again, go to our homepage, go down to the bottom towards the right, and that is where all of the apps are located. All right, now we got that out of the way. First of all, I want to say happy Father's Day to everybody who's a dad. If you got little kiddies out there and you're out there obviously working on a Sunday because you know how darn expensive it is to keep those little tykes in their tennis shoes. Or what are they? I don't even know what's in style now. In my day, it was like the Jordans and all those other darn Adidas tennis shoes. I don't know what they have today, but I know they cost at least $300, $400. So happy Father's Day. Work, 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 work. Real quick, before we talk to our guests today, I'm going to just tell you real quick who they are, and you can be checking them out on their websites, and we'll do our advertisement. But today, very exciting to have these two gorgeous, sexy, super hot, super fly chicks on the air today. First, we have Tasha Henderson. She is a writer, producer. And then we have Ebony Gilbert, who's also a writer and a director, and they are here to promote their latest hot, sizzling hot play called Complexion Woman. And we're going to talk to them about that. Basically, Complexion Woman is this new play. It's I think it's Hollywood Fringe. We're going to find out about that. Complexion Woman explores the intricacies of the everyday experiences of the contemporary woman of color in 2016. And we're going to be talking about coping with issues such as, well, the play deals with issues, coping with depression in the Black community, women of color, I can't talk. See that wild turkey and that Jack Daniels just did it. I can't. I'm tongue-tied over here. Women of color, they live lives that are unique in their experience, but universal in their issues. So Complexion Woman is very honest, controversial, funny, and sad. But that's what makes all of us complex. So this is a really fantastic, fantastic play. I have read reviews. It's been sold out. It's like the play to see. And you might want to go there now and read a little bit about it. It's HollywoodFringe.org. HollywoodFringe, F-R-I-N-G-E.org. And pull up Complexion Woman. And we are going to talk to Natasha and Ebony in 1 second. But speaking about plays, this is fantastic. Very exciting news about another play. If you are a fan of Orange is the New Black, which has just come back for the next season, I think it's the fourth season, then you are going to be so excited to hear this. All Orange is the New Black fans. Okay, my multi-talented friend Veronica Vasquez's production company, Keffi Studios, has created a musical called Orange is the New Musical, and it is fabulous. When we went to see it during the trial, kind of working it out phase, everyone, I mean everyone in this theater, and this theater was in downtown LA, held over 350 people. There was not one empty seat, and it was just a cacophony of laughter and just screaming and hooting and hollering. And I know that this musical is going to become a huge hit on Broadway. It is definitely going to be there in the future, and it's just so funny. Honestly, it's hysterically funny. And what I loved is that all the actors had really excellent comedic timing and great singing abilities. That is so important in a musical. And I see some balance. I'm from the East Coast. My aunt was an actress on Broadway. I know what a play is supposed to be. And since I've come out to LA, I gotta admit, been a little disappointed, people. Been a little disappointed. Pay a fortune to go to these damn plays. And not always good comedic timing and great singing abilities, but this one has it. And what I really love about this musical is that the original songs are always performed live on stage by these top-notch, young, may I say hot, very hot and just gorgeous, young musicians. These guys are really, really talented. And I think that by the band playing right on stage, just appearing, just creates a lot of excitement and fervor for the play. So just wonderful. Now, as if that wasn't exciting enough, more exciting news. Veronica Vasquez is bringing the play back for you to see it for a limited time here in LA before they go on tour. They're going to be taking the musical on tour. And the best news is, if you have always wanted to be a Broadway producer, you wanted to be involved, if you think this play is something that is definitely going to be a hit on Broadway, they are currently looking for partners to help get the Orange is the Musical on the road, on tour. So you can feel free to get in contact with Veronica Vasquez right now, and you might be able to say you were at the inception of this big Broadway production. You never know. Okay, so Orange is the Musical, it's going to be playing on the following dates. And I believe it's at the traditional time of 8 o'clock, but you can check the website. Okay, get ready and write them down. Get your pen. Well, you can also go to the website. It's more exciting to say get your pen. July 1st, July 8th, July 15th, August 22nd, 29th, August 5th, August 12th, and August 19th. Okay, so July 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, and August 5th, 12th, and 19th. And that'll be at the White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, right down the street, 13500 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks. Now, go to the website, orangeisthenewmusical.com. orangeisthenewmusical.com, and tickets are also on sale right now at brownpapertickets.com. I'm telling you, this is so funny. Do you know when I went to see that play, I had never even seen an episode of Orange is the New Black. I had no interest in it. I thought there was just too much going down south for me. I just thought, no, I can't take it. Can't be watching anybody dive the muff. I just can't do it. But I was so hooked on this play that I actually started watching Netflix the next day. And I ended up watching like all three seasons or whatever, how many seasons it was, in like two weeks. Fantastic. Hooked. All right. So there you go. Now back to our two little hotties that have been waiting so patiently. Like, when the hell is she going to shut up and promote our play after we've taken our time to come on the show? Let's talk first about Tasha Henderson. Tasha is a writer and a producer, and very interesting. She was born. Now, these are all quotes from Tasha's bio. Now, I'm not saying anything disrespectful. This is what she said about herself, okay? Tasha was born in Dallas, Texas. Now, Texas, don't get mad with me, but she said it's the land of vicious smiles and backhanded compliments. I don't know. Never been to Texas, but don't be sending me emails, Texas. I love a Texas steak. So there you go. Fittingly, her writing is a unity of opposites. She is this is so sad. I can't believe she wrote this. A two-time pageant loser. No. This girl is beautiful. I can't even believe she lost a pageant. Tasha has an appreciation for the dark comedic and the darkly comedic. And after graduating from Oklahoma State University with a BA in film studies, Tasha just went on to earn her MFA in screenwriting from Loyola Marymount University. Very, very prestigious. And Tasha co-wrote the short film Labyrinth, winner of the Cinecaws Women's Initiative, and Tasha's most recent script, Close Quarters, was nominated for a Film Outside the Frame Award. And Tasha's writing style is always about life lessons with a body count. Oh my gosh, I love it. Life lessons with a body count. I think that's every woman's initiative. I really do. Now, Ebony Gilbert is a writer and a director, and she grew up in Little Haiti, a community that exists in the shadows of glamorous Miami, Florida. And she was surrounded by drugs and poverty and violence, and her escape was writing about it. And she would later write numerous stories and articles about minority youth, including Life Scale is Sadly Unbalanced for the Miami Herald and Trayvon Martin, the Modern Day Emmett Till for the Miami Times. And basically, her love for words and literature just continued as she pursued her BA in English from the University of Florida, and then went on to get her MFA in screenwriting also from Loyola. I assume that's probably where they met. We'll find out. Gilbert's work highlights marginalized communities, gives a voice to the voiceless and captures the experiences of the disenfranchised. My God, they're philanthropists. Welcome, girls.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, I bow in your presence. I'm like doing a wait a bow here. It's just, oh my gosh, I just love when people care about something other than themselves and the mirror. My gosh, it seems like you girls are out there telling the stories of people's lives and really bringing reality into reality, which I really appreciate so much.
Thank you.
Now, you guys are here to promote your latest hit play called Complexion Woman. And I love how you wrote it complex and then put the brackets around Sean. I, got, do you know I got emails from people correcting me saying I made a typo? I'm like, no, it's a damn typo. That's just how they decided to write it. It is not a typo. So that play is now currently at the Hollywood Fringe. And I hear that from what I'm reading all over Twitter, the play is sold out. It has a sold out audience. You guys must be so happy, right?
We are.
We're very ecstatic. We didn't expect the play to have the reception that it had. It would be great, and we hoped it would resonate with people, but we were surprised by the overwhelming support that we got the play.
Now, since there's two of you, let me know which one is talking so we can be in all of your words. So it was that Tasha talking or
Abby? Yes, Tasha, I have the
deep
voice.
And I have the annoying voice, Ebony.
You must be the one from East Coast, the Southeast, with the annoying voice. I get that all the time. I'm from Connecticut. They're like, your voice is so high and whiny and shrill, it goes right through my brain. I'm like, good, bitch. I'm glad. I'm so asleep, my God. Now, I have a description, as we just read, of the play with some words like you pose these questions to the audience, such as, what does it mean to be 20-something in 2016? What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a person of color? And you say that Complexion Woman just explores the intricacies of the everyday experience of contemporary woman of 2016. And you get pretty deep because you girls sound so happy and cheery. I find it hard to believe that you have any issues or can write about issues dealing with depression and all these other experiences. May I ask you, for the person who wrote it, I'm assuming it's maybe Ebony. Did Ebony write this or...
Actually, Tasha wrote the piece on depression in the Black community.
Oh, okay. So what my question is, who came up with the idea to write Complexion Woman? How did it come to be? How did you two come to write this or do it?
Like I said, Ebony and I met at LMU, and at LMU, we were one of, for our screenwriting group, there were 11 of us, and Ebony and I were actually the only two African-American girls in our class. Mm-hmm. And the experience at LMU was great. Everyone was very inclusive, but there was this kind of this underlying thing of like, if Ebony and I had different opinions on something, then it was kind of like, oh, why aren't your opinions the same? What's going on there? Right. So it was just one of those things where we took a playwriting class together, and just through talking and being like, oh, I've been through this, oh, I've been through that, it was like, we should let people know that we're both Black women, and yes, we're the only two Black women in our class, but we have different experiences. You can tell from our bio, Ebony grew up in Little Haiti. I grew up in Dallas, and suburbs of Dallas. We just come from two totally different environments, and I think that shows in our types of our writing styles and who we are as people.
Right.
And if anything, it's amazing how a lot of people just don't even want to learn about a world that they've never heard of, never been in. They don't. They're not even interested in finding about the deep richness of the culture and the spiritualism and all the other things. So people are just, you know, unfortunately closed-minded. So hopefully this play will open up and bring some of those issues to light. Besides the 20-something target audience, who else fits into your target audience or who would relate and enjoy the play?
This is really a play for young and old women. Ebony wrote a beautiful piece called Ain't I a Woman, and it's basically about the stages of life through that some women go through. It goes from when you're 5 to 15 to 25, and it's one of those pieces that I think you don't have to be in your 20s to identify with. You can be whatever age, and you can see, this is my life. This is a piece of my life story. Actually, our very first night, on our opening night, we were able to talk to some of the people in our audiences, and that's exactly what she was someone's mom. She came with her daughter, and she was saying, this is my life. This is what I go through.
Right.
Now, what exactly, if you had to tell us what the play is about, is it is it a two-woman play? How many characters are in the play, and what exactly happens in the play without giving it away?
Well, we actually have a pretty large cast. We have 14 actors, and there are 8 different pieces. And it's really an experience. It's a journey. You go through the dating phase, how it is to date in 2016, and then you go all the way on the other end of the spectrum when you explore things like depression in the Black community or sexual and domestic abuse. So like Tasha explained, like this play, although we talk about a group of women of color, for the audience, everyone can find something to identify with. And that's what we really wanted to show, that even though you have this marginalized group, there are universal themes that we all can hold on to and leave inspired and enlightened.
Now, is this a play of vignettes? Is it different actors playing different types of plays, or is this all one big play with the same actors?
Yes, ma'am, it is. It's 8 vignettes, and we have a cast of 12. We have a fairly large cast, and they're doing multiple roles throughout each piece.
Wow.
Yeah, David, I wrote 4 and Ebony wrote 4. And
whoa.
Like she said, they range, just from our experiences, like she said, it's a universal thing. It's our experiences as Black women, but it's also our experiences as women and our experiences as young adults.
Ah, now I have a test question for both of you.
Uh-oh.
I bet you were prepared for this. I being involved previously in theater pretty much all my life, because as I said, my aunt was an actress on Broadway, and then I was involved with theater for many years. I want to know if you can name, and I'll just give you both your responsible plays that you wrote. Can you please give credit to the cast members by naming them?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
All right, we'll start with Tasha. Tasha.
Oh, okay. So for our first piece is entitled Damaged. And actually the first 2 nights we had a wonderful actress named Casey Yates. She played the role of Wig Lady. But for the last 2 nights, we've actually had another wonderful actress named Melissa Effa. She plays the Wig Lady. For our second piece entitled Dating Now, I myself, Tasha Henderson, I act in it, and then we have another actress. We have 2 actresses who switched out parts, Diana Liu, Lauren Gaw, and we have a wonderful actor, Sergio Mendez, who's in the play. The third piece is called Maybe Baby, and again, Casey Yates is in that piece, and we have Chanel Bosch. Our fourth piece is entitled And the Award Goes To, and that we have a wonderful actress by the name of Tamika Bob. Again, Sergio Mendez. We have another actress by the name of Starina Johnson, who is in that piece. Our fifth piece is entitled Ain't I a Woman? And we have Cokie Baffour, Lauren Oliver, another wonderful actor named Nathan Nonhoff, and then Casey is again in that piece. Our sixth piece is entitled 1:1.27, and it's actually a beat poem. It's a spoken word poem, and Melissa Effa performed that. Our seventh piece is actually a musical number. We have 2 musical numbers, and they're the last 2 pieces. The first musical number is called Hey Bitch, excuse the language, and that is with Cokie Baffour, Carl Russell, myself again, Chanel Bosch, and we had another wonderful actress, Esther Inoja, who played the role the first couple of nights. And then lastly, we have a wonderful piece called Black Girl Magic, and that includes the whole cast.
Ah, wow! I could tell you're an actress. You could remember all of those.
Thank God I didn't do it.
Now, Tasha, I heard that you, I did not know that you were also an actress, but obviously you're an actress as well. Now, Ebony, were you in the play? Yeah, I didn't hear your name.
Oh,
you
no.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know. That's
my lane. He's a wonderful director.
Oh, my gosh. Who directed it? Oh, Ebony directed it, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. gosh. Wow. I know. I like the directing part. I cannot remember those lines. I don't even know how people it is insanity. I don't know. Now, what kind of feedback have you been receiving from the play? Just overall, what are you hearing out on the streets about it?
The reviews have been actually amazing. If I'll tell you what they say, but also you can go to HollywoodFringe.com and look up Complexion Woman. The ION is in the bracket.
HollywoodFringe.org, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, HollywoodFringe.org. And you could look up Complexion Woman, the title. And you could read all the reviews there, but everything has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had people who, of course, we have friends and family come to the show, but we've had people who we don't know and that just went and heard about it and came off the streets to see the show, and they, again, they said, like, these are universal issues. They've said that these are things that they don't just relate to women of color, but these are just what it is to be alive in this time and age in 2016. Saw a lot of the things that they and their friends are talking about.
The audience was very moved by the show, and we were very happy and pleased with it. We had a lot of people who came back, who brought their family members, who wrote us emails. So the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, so we're so grateful.
Oh, well, I'm so glad, because I tell you, it's just wonderful and inspiring to see young people doing their thing and bringing up issues, because I would encourage older people to go and see this, because if you have an interest in learning about another culture and another demographic, it's always good to go and see plays like this, because who the heck knows, when you're over 40-something, you lose touch with reality. It really is true.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
Right.
So, you know, if you have an interest and you want to keep your mind alert, you want to go out and see what's going on. Because people who are 20-something, I'm telling you, it is a whole different world, people over 40. It is a whole different world. They think differently. They're doing things differently. It's just very, very fascinating to see the mentality of the 20-something. So I would highly encourage that. Now, what are your overall goals for this play? Right now, you're playing at Hollywood Fringe. What's after for this play?
Well, we hope that we get into Spencer, so we can take the play outside of LA. I think that would be definitely a dream come true, for sure.
Hollywood Fringe actually offers a lot of different extensions and chances to travel with the play. So we're in talks right now for a July extension. So that's exciting. And then if we get the July extension, then we can also, they also have the opportunity for us to go to San Francisco. And as we're getting more and more, actually learning about more and more theater festivals, we're getting more and more like offers, so we're thinking about taking it further past just Fringe.
Right. Now, for a lot of people in theater, they actually do not know what Hollywood Fringe is, and I would love to take this opportunity to tell them. So for people who do theater or want, because when people start doing theaters, you know how it is. You get stuck at one theater and you just tend to stay there because it's just so easy not to go anywhere else. But this Hollywood Fringe Festival, it's an annual open access community derived event. And they celebrate freedom of expression and collaboration in the performing arts community. And each June, which it is now, during the Hollywood Fringe, the arts infiltrate the Hollywood neighborhoods. They have fully equipped theaters and parks and clubs and churches and restaurants and all these other unexpected places. And they host hundreds of productions by local, national, and international arts companies and independent performers. People doing theater around the country and the world should really check out HollywoodFringe.org. And participation, what I love is participation in Hollywood Fringe is completely open and uncensored. And anybody who's done theater knows that it can get clicky They choose the same people to act in it and produce it and direct it. It gets a little clicky. It really does. This Hollywood Fringe, it's a free-for-all. They have a free-for-all approach. That is what underlines the festival's mission, to be a platform for the artists without a barrier of a curated body. So by opening the gates, what they've done, anybody who has a vision, this festival is able to exhibit like the most diverse. If you think you got a weird, whacked out play, it is just cutting edge, diverse, crazy, they will entertain the idea of putting it on. They are really open to everything, which I find amazing. A lot of theaters, they kind of get stuck doing the same old thing, right? They want to be limited in the production. So they Fringe motivates its participants and really to cultivate just spirit of entrepreneurialism in the arts. And what I love also, and lastly, I'll say about Hollywood Fringe Festival, it's a nonprofit company. What I love, the festival gives 100% of the box office revenue back to participating artists and venues. That's over $1.3 million. And they've been doing that ever since the inaugural festival in 2010. So again, they rely on donations. It's essential for day-to-day festival costs as well as growth for the festivals and resources. So, you know, help them out a little bit. Go to HollywoodFringe.org. And once you read what they're about and what they do and the performances that they put on, you'll want to donate, even if it's like $5, you know, help it out. You know, theater is just a dying art. We've got to help protect it for as long as possible. So please, am I right, girls?
Yes.
Yeah. If I didn't know better, I think you two were twins. You're like, was it Tia and Tiara? You guys sound just
Tia and
like,
Tamara.
Yeah, Tia and Tamara. Now, a question for you so hopefully to finish that question off, maybe Broadway bound. We don't know. Maybe, possibly. We
great. Have, right? It's funny, while I was writing the piece, Hey Bitch, I listened to a lot of Hamilton, the Hamilton soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
So that was a very much an inspiration for me when writing some of the musical piece.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Now from a producer, writer, director's perspective, and both of you take turns answering this, and just jump in wherever. A lot of people want to do theater, and here specifically in LA, it's very, very hard. It really is. When I came here to go to UCLA, I had directed Grapes of Wrath a couple times at a little rinky-dink community theater. And I thought, oh, I'm going to just do it again. Oh, my gosh. It was such a process. I'm like, oh, my, right. Hell no. So I ended up working and directing a couple things down at Hermosa Beach Civic Theater. But it is – they have – and you're from Florida, you're from Texas. Okay, so I assume that you had involvement in theater at some point in your lives before LA. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I actually did, was in a theater magnet in high school and did like children's theater as a kid and all of that.
Yeah.
Actually, the magnet, being in the theater magnet, is what got me into writing in the first place. We were actually required to... for our senior year, as part of our senior project, we as a class had to write a play. And before that, we were like writing little plays that we perform and stuff like that. And so that's when I started writing. I was like, this is what I really, really love.
Yeah, so you guys are hopeful. I come from the East Coast. I'm not sure if you are familiar with this, but what we usually start before we get started is we do what's called an energy circle. So Tasha and Ebony, I come here and I'm asked to direct a play called The Heidi Chronicles. I'm sure you're familiar with it. So I'm ready to start my energy circle. Well, Lord, they looked at me like I was absolutely insane. What? What? An energy circle? We do all of our warm-ups in the car. They didn't want to do warm-ups. They didn't want to do it. They said they did it in the car. I'm like, well, you know what, bitch? You'll be doing it right here on stage today. Don't be tooting those silicone breasts at me talking about doing some damn nuts. Because you know why? I found, and again, this is generally speaking, not for everyone. I found that my personal experience, I was running across these actors who were doing theater just in hopes of getting discovered, not for the love of the play, right, not for the message. Not, they didn't even usually know anything about the damn playwrights or didn't study or anything. And that was, again, my personal experience. And I was very disheartened, Tasha and Ebony. And I came from loving theater to my experiences out here. And I said, oh, forget it. I just can't, if they're not genuinely into the art of loving a play, I just can't do it. So then I switched to film. Film and theater. And that's even worse, but it's too late now, right?
We've been very fortunate with our actors and actresses. They've been, it's funny that you say the East Coast is the warm-up thing, because Evan and I wasn't used to the warm-up, and we actually had an actress who went to school in Rhode Island. Like, after, like, our second rehearsal, she emailed us, and she's like, I think we should, you know, do some warm-ups and get in the circle and stay. So after that, once we incorporated that, Chanel Bosch, once we incorporated the warm-up circle and the energy, doing the warm-ups, we saw such a change in the productiveness of the performances and of the play. Yes. So,
Oh, I'm so glad you agree. Absolutely. I mean, I grew up, we're talking, you know, my dad died in Vietnam, and I grew up being raised by six aunts because my mother went back to medical school. So I actually got to go backstage on Broadway, and I'd hide in the little dressing room. They would hide me in the dressing room while she went on rehearsal. So I saw that these Broadway producers, they had them doing these Uga Hagen exercises. They had to do their viola spolin. They had to do this thing with a beach ball, pass it back and forth. I'm like, oh, they get to play. And that's why I fell in love with theater. I was too little to know what they were doing, but those exercises really helped. And I know when I used to direct theater, one of the things I learned from this Broadway director, and I thought it was fascinating, he would sit out in the audience and he would have them do a run through or do a rehearsal, and he wouldn't look at them. He would keep their back to them the whole entire time, and he would know when they weren't hitting their mark, when the blocking was off. He would know, because if you have to just listen to something, rather seeing it and hearing it gives you too much information. If you want to know if something's good, just listen to it instead of watching it, and then you'll know whether it's really good or not. Take away that visual stimulus, and you're going to realize if your play is really good. So that's what I always recommend to beginning directors out there. Just a little career tip of advice from me. So it's a very different perspective. Now, was this complexion woman, was this ever, did you two ever say, should we do it as a play or should we do it as a short film or a feature film? Did that table talk ever happen, or was it always meant to be a play?
You know, it was always meant to be a play. But the interesting thing, now that we put the play up, now we have pieces that we really think, hey, this could be a TV show. So it's inspiring other pieces.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Just from your description and what I've read about it, that's why I put this question in there. Because when I was reading about it, I see in my mind, because, you know, I have a production company. I produce web series and shorts and feature films and music videos. So I have the director mind. So when I read something or hear about it, you know how you are, Ebony. You automatically set up the scenario in your mind. You can see it, right? You set
up
That's why I make everybody tell me things in chronological order, because I have to set the scene in my mind. Just like when a choreographer hears music, she can see the people dancing. Well, I saw, and as you were describing the parts, I see that some of these vignettes could be developed into either a short film or a television or even a web series. I see it in my mind.
Yeah.
What do you
think?
Yes,
I just received an email this morning about someone who attended our last show on the 17th, and she was like, Ebony, this piece could really be a television show. And she's a big producer in the industry. And I was like, wow, like, I didn't even think about that. So, yes, definitely. And now, like, this could be a really cool television show that's really, really different, you know, that really that's inspired by these pieces that we have in the play.
Oh, we need it. We need it. We need more shows about the realities of life, and we just need to get it out there. What happened to the shows like Good Times? Oh, I'm old school. One of my best friends is Ernest Thomas. He was, do you remember that? I know you girls are very young, but I know you know my friend Ernest Thomas. He was the star of What's Happening. He played Raj.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they got everybody who Chris, I love that show.
Yeah, I mean, Good Times and What's Happening. And in all of those shows in the 70s, they were really dealing, they were on at the inception of dealing with the important issues. And of course, unfortunately, with the exception of bigot Archie Bunker, they were all monitored. I don't even know how he got away with the stuff he did, but they, at least right. You had Sherman Hemsley out there, because Norman Lear, I have a friend that Maddie Crothers, who worked with Norman Lear for over 30 years, and he was able to have extreme leverage in his show. So they were at least touching upon the issues that dealt with the urban community and reality. And we want to see that now. I think that's been missing from television for a very, very long time. I think that's something we need to bring back. I mean, I don't mind me. I love looking at that guy on Rosewood. I mean, I get a cocktail and I'm good to go. But I want to see some nitty gritty urban development, urban community stuff about what's going on. You know, I'm interested. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear?
Oh, are you there still?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Cut off a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, I think you should definitely develop it into something. Something television,
yeah.
Or maybe a web series, something related. I can definitely hear it.
Definitely. I think that's the great thing about the pieces, that they are so small, but they can be developed. They're just like a slice of life. Mm-hmm. And like Emily said, there's like, you got the email about pieces being turned into something bigger. I definitely agree. They can be expanded on.
Now, let's talk about where we can see it. I'm hoping that we can still see it. Tell us the dates that it's playing, where it's playing. Give us all the deets.
So we're actually at our last show, and that will be June 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Asylum Theater. And like you said, we've been sold out, and we're sold out this show. However, we are offering standing room tickets.
Ah, and where's the Asylum Theater? I've heard of that. Is that on Santa Monica Boulevard? Or
it is.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. And what are the dates? And I know it's 6:30. The last one's June 25th. That's the last show, right? And of course,
yes.
It has to be June 25th when I already have a prior engagement. Now I'm when is it? Are you going to? Didn't you say you got some possible open dates in July though?
Yes, we're in talks right now for an extension in July, and so it'll probably be the later half of July, maybe after the
14th. Okay, would you contact me directly and give me those dates, and I'll give you guys some free advertisement for sure.
Thank you.
I want people to see this, and I want to see it myself, so let me know what it is so I can get it on the books. I'm excited. I'll bring like a little group to see it. Oh, that'll be exciting. And do you have your own, website promoting this particular
Right now, we're actually going through the Fringe page. So, again, if you go through hollywoodfringe.org /357-3, that will take you directly to our page. Or if you just go to hollywoodfringe.org and type in complexion, again, the I-O-N is in the bracket, complexion woman, that will come up. We do have a Twitter. Our Twitter account is complex_ION, and we have a Facebook page, and you could go just look up Complexion Woman.
Yeah, I went to the Facebook page and I thought it was something where I could like it, but it's not that type of page. So I was a little bummed out. I'm like, where's the like button? Why can't I like it and be on the list? Yeah, it just has like the dates and that's it. So, yeah.
Oh, we have two pages. That was maybe the event page. We have an event page, which is also under Complexion Moments. We'll send you the link to
Okay, and I'm going to friend you guys. I'm going to friend you. That way, when you give me the new dates, I'll post it also on all of our social media sites, and I'll tag you.
Thank you.
Because we got to get that play out there. I assume you're going to be working on it for a while, but do you have any other projects that are you, once this run is over, are you going to move on to other things, or are you really going to keep this on the back burner and kind of, you know, poke it in there every once in a while to keep promoting it?
Yes, once Fringe is over, we still want to, we want to enter other festivals and hopefully get extensions and try to bring this outside of just the LA community, try to go on a more national level with it. And then other than that, we're working on our own separate projects. I'm working on a script. Ebony's working on our own separate scripts right now as well.
Film so or always working, plays always or plays or film?
I'm working on a television pilot right now.
And same with me. I'm also working on a television show.
Oh, my God. Exciting. Well, don't forget to submit it to me. I'm a screener at the Burbank Film Festival. So please, send it to me. Can't promise anything. Wink, wink. But just send it anyway. You never know.
You will, definitely.
And so we got 5 minutes left. Let's just talk briefly about you giving career advice to people who want to get started in the industry. So let's start with Tasha to answer the question, and then we'll go to Ebony. Tasha, what do you feel is the best advice that you could give a person pursuing a career as a producer, a director, a screenwriter?
I think the best advice that I was given is write whatever you want. I was always afraid. I think starting off my career, I was always like, well, I think this is what the people want, and this is what was hot right now, so I'll write about that. And I wasn't getting anywhere, and it wasn't something that I was attached to, and I ended up just forgetting about the pieces because they weren't something that it wasn't something that I was actually connecting to, and it wasn't something that I was actually interested in. But once I started writing pieces that were true to myself and true to things that I was interested in and things that were important to me, I changed as a writer, and I noticed the things that I was writing started getting more noticed. Like with the play, this is all from us. We didn't say, we want to write about a play about black women because black women are hot right now. Or we're going to write about these issues because these issues are cool. We were like, let's write about what's going on in our lives. So dating is something that's happening in my life right now. And so I wrote about it. Depression is something that I've battled with for my whole life. And that's something I wanted to write about. It wasn't, let's write about this because it'll get us noticed, or let's write about it because we think people will find it interesting. It's being true to yourself. So I think that's the most important thing, is writing true to yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now that is the best advice. Now I'm going to flip it over. And you know how during our lives, we've been given some bad damn advice. And we thank God, I hope this person isn't spreading this shit to other people. So here's the flip question. What is the worst piece of advice that you've gotten? And how do you know when it's bad advice and you just don't even listen to it?
Oh, wow. I've gotten so much good advice. the worst advice that I've gotten...
Well, okay, like example, they say, oh, there's no money in theater. Oh, you need to get a day job. That would be a terrible piece of advice.
I find that the advice that in terms of theater, or just drama, it goes along with what I'm saying, like write what you want to write about. I was told that I do mostly dark comedy, and I was told that dark comedy is not lucrative. Dark comedy studios aren't buying dark comedies, this and this and this about dark comedies. But it's like, that's what I... like, you know what I mean? And I think the worst advice I think I've gotten is don't write about the things that are not going to be popular or that are not going to be lucrative. You have to write, your best writing comes from what you know and what is inside of you.
And Ebony, what do you feel?
I mean, the best advice or the worst advice?
I want to hear the worst advice so you know never to listen to it if somebody says it to you. What do you stay away from when people say something to you?
Well, as far as, you know, elevating your material, you know, you have a lot of people that just say, yeah, if you like it, it's good enough. And I just think that is terrible advice. I think that you should always send out your work so that you can have people to give you good feedback, not just your close friends and family, but you need to send it out to strangers, send it out to industry connections to really see how your material is affecting other people. I think that it's really important.
Don't just rely on your own point of view as far as taste. Mm-hmm. Write what you like to write, but you still want to make sure that is, you know, that you have fans and, you know, people are going to respond well to your material.
Right. If somebody is just telling you how great you are and it's fantastic,
right,
it's fabulous, do not trust them. A person. They are sugarcoating it, because you know why? People think that just because they tell you it's great because they don't want to hurt your feelings, they're doing you a favor.
Yes.
They're not doing you a favor. They are actually hurting you and hindering
you.
You need to be real with people. The highest form of respect comes in the truth, and that is if something sucks, you got to tell them, because you might be saving them from embarrassing themselves or from them going on the wrong path. You know, tell them if there's even if it's a single issue, people will respect and appreciate you and ask for your advice more if you tell them the truth, even if it's going to hurt. Am I right, girls?
You're so right.
All right, my darlings. Guess what? It's over. You got through. Well, I want to thank you so much, Tasha Henderson and Ebony Gilbert, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You girls are lovely. I've already started following you on Twitter. I'm going to look for you on Facebook again. I only saw that one page. But please look me up and friend me, Priscilla Leona, and I will promote your project in July. And hopefully maybe we can come and maybe even might work together in the future. I donate funds to lots of people who have plays, so feel free to hit me up for some cashola, and we'll see what happens, right?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. And so we also want to say that all of our proceeds are going to the organization Black Woman for Wellness. 100% of the proceeds from the play are going to the organization Black Woman for Wellness.
Absolutely. All right. And we want to thank Chuck Tyler for introducing you
to
our show. Thank you, Chuck. And say goodbye to your fans, Tasha and Ebony.
Bye,
everyone.
Thank you.
Complexion Woman at the Asylum Theater. Go see it June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Thank everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.